I see him in the waiting room joining us now, as he does each and every Tuesday. Our great friend, the man, the myth, the legend, covering the SEC better than anybody else, Chris Phillips from SEC Unfiltered. C. Philly, how we doing today, my man?
BK Buck, doing well, man. You're going to Mexico this weekend? You're not going to Omaha? You'd rather go down to the sunny beaches of what, Cancun, probably, than go to the middle of America? Really?
I didn't say I'd rather.
Shame on you.
It ain't my wedding. I know better than to do something like this. I mean, it is the University of Texas at Omaha.
So I got to assume. You know what you and I have in common, though? We're both missing weddings. Or no, actually, excuse me, you're going to the wedding. We both have weddings. During the College World Series, you're going to yours. Unfortunately, I actually had to text my buddy this morning, which he knows the drill. It's all good. It's not like I was in the wedding or anything, but I got invited to a buddy of mine's wedding, and I've known this guy for years, but the wedding happens to fall on the Saturday of game one of the College World Series finals, and I just told him weeks ago, I was like, listen, man, if we got a team in the finals, I can't miss. And I mean, the whole one side of the bracket, of course, that Texas is on is SEC. So we're guaranteed, which I'm very ecstatic about. It doesn't mean I have to, you know, I don't have to cancel the Airbnb early or change the flight or whatever. We'll be there the full 12 days. But yeah.
Hey, listen, all you have to do
is. Dude, you know what sucks through the wedding? They're a pair of line dancers. They do that like professionally. So you know that wedding is going to be.
Wow. Like
over the top with the line. It's going to be such an awesome wedding. Down in Savannah, Georgia, shout out to my buddy Tucker and his beautiful fiance, Megan. I hate to miss it, but yeah, duty calls, man.
You know, all you have to do for BK is get him a tux, and if he's a part of it, he's there. It doesn't matter anything else. Anything else around the world, just buy his tux, and he is there, brother.
Big wedding guy. Big wedding guy.
I'll take your spot. Tell your friends in Savannah that
he'll make both of them.
Yeah. Slide in. I mean, maybe so. You'll be like the wedding crasher, modern day.
Yeah. Rule number 72, no excuses, play like a champion, right?
That's it. The bit. I love it.
Well, we'll get your thoughts on the Brendan Sorsby stuff a little bit later, because I know you have plenty of takes on that. But we will start with the College World Series that gets started on Friday. I mean, you mentioned it. Five SEC teams in the field of eight. That's an all-time record for Omaha. One entire side of the bracket is all Southeastern Conference teams, and then you've got Ole Miss on the other side. But just, I guess, your biggest conference-wide takeaways. We'll go back before we look forward. Just kind of your biggest takeaways and observations from Super Regional weekend with these SEC teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think the conference-wide takeaway is the SEC is still the creme de la creme when it comes to college baseball. I mean, I think there was some narratives being pushed last year. You know, it's interesting the last couple of years. We had four in 2024. I think we were all in agreement the SEC is the best, won the Natty that year, of course, as they did the previous, four or five years prior. Last year, you only get two, right? So people had this feeling of NIL portal has evened out the game. Was the SEC down? Did they have a down year? Then we get, and then of course LSU wins it all. Then we get into this season, and it felt like the SEC sort of beat up on each other, right? At number one, you had a Big Ten team start to finish. You had Georgia Tech, you had North Carolina, all due respect to those clubs, but you know, there was some talk maybe to the SEC as dominant? Is there a dominant team in the SEC? And I don't know that we know the answer yet, although I feel like we could argue that Georgia and Texas certainly have separated themselves to a degree. But what really has shined through is just the depth of the league. I mean, you got a team that finished 11th in Oklahoma that's in the College World Series. You've got a team in Alabama that was very, top five, top six, but very middle of the pack all throughout the season. They're in the College World Series. You got a team in Ole Miss, same story with them. They're in the College World Series. So the big conference-wide takeaway, I know that, you know, we have these conversations on the daily. What does the SEC have to do to get their grip back in football, right? This whole SEC Big Ten controversy or conversation. There's none of that in college baseball. The SEC is the very best of the best. And while there, you know, I think there's increased parity, we saw it across the landscape this postseason. The SEC being at the top of the sport, it still remains true. I think the best players are still going to SEC schools, and more good players are going other places, but the best are still going to the Southeastern Conference, and I think that's showing itself on the field. So, yeah, man, I'm stoked. I mean, obviously, I'm very biased when it comes to this. I was hopeful that we'd get all five when it came to the Super Regionals. Of course, we had the two SEC on SEC matchups and then three other showdowns, and I thought we were going to get four. I thought four was the right number. I felt like five. I was like, there's no way we're lucky enough where we're going to get all of them in. Three would have felt like a disaster. And then two would have felt like a true disaster, like something went terribly wrong. So to get all five in, one entire side of the bracket to be SEC, I mean, as you can imagine, I'm ecstatic for what it means for our trip, ecstatic for what it means for content, ecstatic for what it means for the conference as well. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. Chris Phillips of SEC Unfiltered joining us here. Well, we'll bring things back home to Austin, the Austin Super Regional. A lot of people thought it was maybe the best Supers, right? Number 6, Texas. Number 11, Oregon. We've had so much chaos around the tournament that, you know, there were a lot of unseeded teams that made it into weekend two. But the Longhorns swept the Austin Regional. Oregon swept the Eugene Regional. This was a big-time matchup on paper. ESPN had its number one broadcasting crew here in Austin. And Texas, they swept Oregon. A blowout win in game one, a much closer and dramatic win in game two. But just your thoughts, CP, on what you saw the Longhorns do this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I picked Texas. I wasn't surprised, but I was impressed. I mean, I think anytime, of course, you got Dylan Valances going game one, that is the ultimate X factor. And I think that's why so many of us, and I'm sure including you guys, are so fired up to get Texas Georgia out of the gate. And it'll be elite on elite. And, you know, I think that's going to be a massive tone setter. I've been calling it, sort of relating it to what we saw last year, if you remember, when LSU and Arkansas played in game one. And it kind of felt like that was, hey, you know, it's not the end all be all, but you felt pretty good. The team that won, that's going to win it all. You just had the fast track to the finals and again, set the tone for the College World Series. But again, Dylan Valances was really sharp, obviously, in game number one. To get what you got out of Brody Walls and Luke Harrison out of the bullpen, and obviously offensively, you just explode. And that one, you know, really wasn't close. We did not get the Oregon ace, or at least I thought he was going to go in game one. He did not go. So Texas able to beat up on some other wimpy pitchers. I mean, Anthony Pack Jr. continues to be fantastic. Timo was really good. How about the series that Adrian Rodriguez had? I mean, he was phenomenal. I was really locked into game number two. Watched essentially the entirety of that game. I thought Ruger Riojas, you know, I know he gave up four earned, but more of a quality start from him. I thought he looked much better than he had towards the end of the season, which I think is really important for them. You know, the country, if they were not familiar with him before, they got to meet one Mr. Sam Cozart, and he is a lot of fun to watch pitch. I mean, it's a just fireballer. Kind of feels like that old school rising fastball. I mean, the secondary stuff is absolutely filthy. And he's got that presence on the mound that you want in a closer. It kind of feels like you give him the baseball in the eighth or the ninth inning, and it's just good night. And then, in the postseason, BK and Buck, and I'm sure your audience knows this as well, that, you know, your stars have to be stars. And it's not just about, are you going to hit? Are you going to pitch? Are you going to field? It's, can you do it in a timely manner? Can you do it when it matters most? And so timely hitting is the name of the game. So that swing of the bat that Adrian Rodriguez had, you know, that ball down the line, and, you know, you saw the emotions from him. And, you know, at that point, I think it just kind of stacked on itself and the momentum. And I will say, and they mentioned on the broadcast, give Oregon a lot of credit to come back in that environment when they got down early 2-0, back-to-back bombs to start it. Could have very easily folded, but I had a feeling at one point, I was like, hey, it looks like we're going to go to a game three, but that's why it's so important to take care of your business during the regular season. And I give Texas fans all the credit in the world, because you can't tell me that environment did not play a major factor. It almost got to a point where, dare I say, I kind of felt bad for that kid late in that game, that you could just really see him going through it. You know what I mean? Like, you could really see him battling the demons out there. But again, that's why you work so hard to play at home, to get that home field advantage. And, you know, you're really going to be tested in the postseason, and you got to earn your way to Omaha. And, if you know, it was going to take a really special performance from Oregon to go in there and take 2 or 3, and it was not to be. And, you know, I've been saying it all year to you guys that, you know, and I was like, I don't want to be the jinx, but it would have been a travesty if this Texas team would just, all the pieces they have and as complete as I think they are and as good as I know they are, would have been a travesty if they didn't end up in Omaha. So, yeah, really excited and happy for you guys. Really excited and happy for Texas fans. I know it's been a quote-unquote drought. It hasn't really been that long, but when you're a program like Texas, what was it, 5 years? 6 years? It feels like it's been forever since they've been to Omaha. I'm excited selfishly. Again, this is my third ever trip to Omaha, first ever time seeing Texas there. And, I mean, it's, you know, 39 trips in 79 years. I'm glad I get to see one of them. So, yeah, happy for the staff. You know, was able to text Max Wiener and Nolan Kane after the game. Stoked to link up with those guys. Happy for Schloss and them. So, yeah, no, it was a great series. And, you know, it's guys got to come up clutch when it matters most. A-Rod did that. I thought that was kind of a microcosm of why Texas won that series. So
yeah, I thought the batters were fantastic. I thought those first two innings in both games, they came out looking to get on base. And they'll take a walk if you give it to them. But if you put that ball across the plate, those guys had one thing that they were after. They were after hits. And they were shooting balls in gaps and running the bases pretty well. But to get on a team early, especially a team that came here and the humidity was up here, I thought Oregon handled the humidity pretty well. It was awful here, Chris.
Lucky, it's hot in Austin in June. I can't believe that.
Oh, I mean, I'm shocked. I'm just telling you, it was brutal. Humidity, forget the sun. The sun didn't even have to shine. And the wind was carrying out. It was,
you know, it's funny. I've been to Texas multiple times now. I guess I went to Dallas for SEC Media Days in 24, was that, I think, when we had it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but I wasn't outside a ton, but I do remember it being hot. But I've only been to Austin during football season and even went to College Station in November, and Arlington I've been in February for the baseball. So I've never really experienced that Austin heat in the middle of summer. So that's I need to get down there for a little summer trip.
Make sure you're around water. Make sure
Barton Springs. BK, we're going to Barton Springs. Remember what we're talking about. We're going to Barton Springs.
Hey, I'll get you on a boat, too, on the lake. That's you got to be around water. Once it gets to, like, mid-June around here through September, if you're outside, there better be water around.
Well, Buck, I was cracking a smile what you said, Buck, because it is funny, because the game of baseball now, we just think it's like throw 100 miles an hour and hit 500-foot homers. But it is funny when you get in the postseason, stuff like hitting with two strikes – bunting, stealing, hitting and running, putting the ball in play, those things all become at a premium. So, like, when the pressure gets ratcheted up, baseball at its core becomes what we've always known it, because, you know, you saw it in this series, right? Good things happen when you put the baseball into play and you make the other team make plays. And again, with that crowd on top of you, it becomes very easy to, you know, to be at fault, make an error, whatever. But I thought definitely in the game two, with Will Sanford out there for Oregon, who's been fantastic for them. Yeah, to jump on him early and to really set the tone, I thought that was big. And again, not to take away the power, because of course it was Robbins and Tenney back to back, and those guys have been tone setters for Texas. But yeah, all those other things like that at bat A-Rod had was just, I mean, that's, you know, that's that postseason type of stuff, that grittiness, that's that Texas, you know, hit the chest and battle with two strikes type of deal. And he did that. So yeah, it's you always want to be well-rounded this time of year. It's like we talk in football. I don't think that baseball is that much different. The teams that can win the most ways win the most games. I think it's why you've seen Georgia be so good, right? Because they can win a 3-2 ball game. They can win a 13-12 ball game. We just saw it in the Supers. They can beat you with defense. They can beat you with a lot of different things. So I think Texas falls in that category as well. And I agree with you. I thought from the offensive perspective against a pretty good Oregon team, pretty good Oregon staff, I thought that was on full display.
Chris Phillips of SEC Unfiltered joining us here. One more baseball question, Chris. I know Buck wants to get your thoughts on the Brendan Sorsby stuff and some other college football conversations, but you just kind of talked about it, right? Tell us about this Georgia team. I think most Longhorn baseball fans have paid attention to Georgia, right? Texas was chasing Georgia in the SEC standings. Everybody knows they're good. They're the highest seed remaining. And they won the SEC regular season title. They won the SEC tournament, but the Longhorns and Bulldogs didn't meet in the regular season. So, for the folks maybe not too familiar with the Dogs, what is Texas going to see Saturday night in the opener in Omaha?
Arguably the best team in the country. I mean, you know, again, I don't want to overstate what game one means, because for me to tell you to win game one is important is pretty obvious, right? But it really feels like the winner of this game, boy, you've got the fast track to the College World Series finals. I mean, the way it sets you up, not having to go in the loser's bracket and dig deeper into your pitching staff. It's a team a lot like Texas from the standpoint as I just look at them as complete. You know, I think Texas obviously, and I say obviously, I think Georgia fans would balk at the idea, but in my opinion, I think Texas has the advantage on the mound. I mean, number one, I'll take Dylan Volantis against virtually anybody in the field. As good as Joey Volchko and Cade Naoki and Dylan Vieg have been for them, you know, I think Dylan Volantis is just head and shoulders above the rest. But that's been the biggest difference with Georgia this year. I'm sure Texas fans at this point are familiar. Hey, Georgia can hit. Newsflash, breaking news, they can hit. The difference this year is they've had the pitching to complement it. So a guy like Cade Naoki has been a massive arm for them. A guy like Justin Bird, who got the last out in the Super Regional, he's been fantastic in emerging. And Joey Voltsko, again, has been – I won't say he's been like Dylan Volantis elite by any means, but he's been good enough, right? Like, when you're a pitcher on the Georgia staff, you can have an ERA of 5 and have a pretty good record. You know, you don't have to throw shutouts every game. They're going to score runs for you. And that's the most intriguing thing to me when we talk – this Texas-Georgia showdown. I mean, we could do an entire show just on this game alone, much less the College World Series, because Georgia's hit everybody. Like, for the most part, they've hit everyone. I'm so excited to just sit back in the stadium, grab the popcorn, and just watch Volantis go up against this lineup. It's going to be, again, elite on elite. Typically, great pitching beats great hitting this time of year. But, again, I've said that before about Georgia, and they've hit virtually everyone. So, you know, I think that's their big question if they have one. There's very few chinks in the armor. They play good defense. The power numbers are obviously there. But I don't think they're just power. I want to make that clear, too. But certainly they lean on the power. Dan Jackson's the name to know in the lineup. Trey Phelps, Ryan Lujo, Michael O'Shaughnessy. You know, the list goes on and on. But Dan Jackson's, you're probably going to win the Golden Spikes. They call him Rhino. For those that haven't seen, he's for real. The dude's for real. Over 30 bombs this year, hits for average too, can run the bases. I mean, he's an awesome player. And then obviously I think everybody's familiar with Trey Phelps with his suspension that he had, whatever. But yeah, they're an awesome team, man. And it's weird because when you use the phrase team of destiny, that typically refers to a team that, well, they're good, but they're not the best, but they're just having a magical run. Georgia, I could argue, is the best team in the field, and they feel like the team of destiny. Like, it always felt like the stars were aligned. This team was going to get back to Omaha first time since 2008. And, you know, the way that Super Regional went, man, where, you know, you talk about thrillers and back-to-back games, and it goes to extra innings, and the heroics, and the theatrics, and the home runs, and it just seems like the stars keep lining up, the cards keep turning over, and it's Georgia. So, but Texas can put a stop to that. It's going to be pure cinema. We haven't made picks or predictions for that game yet. We will on Thursday. And I can't say that I've, you know, I feel like I normally come on with y'all and I'm like, I kind of know, bro, I have no idea. I would assume Georgia's going to go Joey Voltsko, but then again, they might go Aoki. I don't know who Georgia's going to throw. It's just going to be an awesome game. So yeah, it's the best team Texas has played all season. I just put it that way. And Dylan Volantis will need his best stuff. That's for sure.
He'll have to pitch better than he did in game one.
He'll have to pitch probably as well as he's pitched all year. And I mean, that or we might see another, it's going to be like Georgia, Mississippi State, where it's like 10-8.
Oh, yeah.
You got to feel confident with a guy like Volantis on the mound. He gets a full week of rest. You got to feel confident with him going. Like I said, I will say this from an offensive standpoint. Again, Georgia fans would kick and scream if they heard me say this, but you just have to mention it. And I'm curious to see how the ball flies out of Charles Schwab, because I thought last year, you know, we talk about how big the ballpark is. I mean, the ball carried last year. It wasn't. But it's still a bigger ballpark, certainly bigger than Foley. Texas, I think, is at an advantage from an offensive standpoint, where from the standpoint of, I don't know that their mindset changes a lot, because let's call it for what it is. Texas's park, at least to me, feels like a graveyard for baseballs. It's a pitcher's park, to me. There's no question. Oh, yeah. Foley Field is not that, right? It is a much different vibe. I think it's Georgia's offense will have to make the bigger adjustment than I think maybe Texas's offense will. That makes sense. So,
yeah.
But still, Georgia's offense, they're still going to hit homers. I'm not at all under the impression that I think they're going to be – those guys don't exactly hit wall scrapers. When they hit a home run, it's a bomb, you know. So, man, it's just going to be fun. I'm so excited to get there and watch it. It's going to be an awesome week or so of baseball.
No doubt.
Chris, I wanted to ask you about, before I ask you about Sorsby, Commissioner Sankey has to, and he's never going to say anything bad about Nick Saban. Nobody seems to want to say anything bad about Nick Saban, but being in front of Congress last week, I know the commissioner is not siding with him on what they're trying to do, and you know the media rights and all that other stuff. But and I truly believe Nick Saban would love to find a way to really fix college football and have a governing body that I don't care. I don't think he wants everything to be equal, because it's never going to be equal. There's always going to be somebody that has more. That's just the way it is, and somebody that has less. But how does he sound to you of the thoughts about Commissioner Sankey with Saban, as I said, and what he's doing with the people at Congress right now?
I mean, I get where Nick's coming from. I hypocrite has been the word that's been used a lot when it comes to Nick Saban talking about college football. I think it's a little unfair. You know, climates change, things change. I understand why people say that, because Alabama, for the longest, you could argue, benefited from there not being an NIL, and they were those guys weren't driving Hellcats off nothing. I think that they, you know, we have all of those Dodge Chargers or whatever they were. Yeah, I mean, listen, I will be totally honest and transparent with you, Buck. The sport of college football, the offseason to me has become deplorable. I am not nearly as in tune with like the legal side of things and the back and forth in Congress and the collective bargaining and I'm not, and maybe this is bad for me to say, but I'm just trying to be as honest with you as I can. I'm not nearly as in tune with it as maybe some others are. I love football. I love Saturdays in the fall. I love talking depth charts and predictions and making bold picks and what have you. I started making content in 2017 and went full-time in 2019. I got to be honest with you, man. I did not sign up to talk about some of this shit. I really did.
Yeah.
I'm being as honest as I can. Like, so sure. When people ask me, instead of me trying to make up some BS answer to you, I will be honest with you. I listen to maybe 5 seconds of what Nick Saban said, because I don't really care. Like, I don't really, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, everybody wants to fix college football. Let's fix college football. I think trying to fix something that wasn't broken in the first place is how we got in this mess, you could argue. So, you know, I think Nick Saban has the best interest of the game at heart? I think he does. Yes, I think he does. Greg Sankey to me comes off as powerless at this point. He feels more like a talking head and a puppet. Somebody's got their hand on the back of his shirt, and he's just kind of a moving mouthpiece at this point, if I'm being totally honest. So, which is not exactly a reassuring thing as we sit in one of the most, and I can acknowledge, most important and pivotal moments in the history of the sport. But to be totally transparent with you, Buck, and I went on radio here in Nashville last week and I said the same thing, because I got a similar question, and maybe it's fault of mine, but I'm to me, we've never talked about the game less in the offseason than we do now. And college football has gone from, again, debates about depth charts and predictions and schedules to talking about legal matters. If I wanted to talk about legal matters, I would have went to law school. But I just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not reading through all this damn paperwork. I'm not doing it. That's why I have a lawyer. It's his job. Like, I'm not in the business of fixing college football. You know, there's some people out there that they want to do that. They want that to be their role. They want to be the commissioner. Let them, by all means. I'm not that guy. So I'm not dodging your question or ducking your question or disrespecting your question. I'm just trying to be as genuinely honest and authentic as I possibly can. I don't think we have a real solution right now. And that's the other thing too. It's so hard to keep up, because there's some new solution every day.
Absolutely.
There's some new talking head saying something about we need to do this or do that or whatever. You know, and I'm like, man, maybe it wasn't so bad when we had BCS. Yeah, seems like it was a lot less of a headache, you know, like, but toothpaste is out of the tube, and I'm very concerned for what's next for the sport. I don't know. You can't go backwards. I think it's hot air to just keep saying that, like, we should go back to 8. We're not going back to anything. We're either staying at 12 or – and then all the other stuff, too. Like, we're not going back to pre-2021. We're not going pre-NIL. We're not going pre-portal. So we have to find a way to make the best of this new reality. And I just – hopefully there are people much smarter than myself that are making those decisions of what it looks like. So, you know, if I lose the audience that's looking for those answers on our content and with our, then so be it. Because I don't have them. I don't have it. I'm just a guy talking ball, man. I mean, that's
I agree with you there.
Again, I'm not trying to like disrespect the question at all. It's a valid question. I'd be lying to you if I told you I gave the Nick Saban stuff any more than like 5 seconds of my time. I got to be totally honest. So
it's one of those things like for years, you know, the NFL does such a good job of dominating the sports calendar, right? It feels like they have something going on every month where you have to talk about the NFL. And I've always wanted college football to do that too. Cause I like for the diehards, like the three of us, you're always thinking college football, but it just kind of goes away from like February to, you know, July, if you will. And now it's on the top of everybody's minds, but it's for all the wrong reasons, right? It's not like the all pub is good pub kind of thing. I mean, I like that people are talking about college football right now, but I'm with you. I want to talk about the games. I want to talk about the players. I want to talk about coaches. And here we are. It's like, it's made what happens, but the sport, the future of the sport is hanging in the balance right now. So it's like, you almost have to talk about it, you know?
Yeah. It's made it more of a seasonal sport, if I'm being totally honest. Because we used to really dive in heavy with like off season segments or what have you, and we'll still do that, but like our college baseball stuff, not to take it to like a really personal level, like our content, but like our college baseball stuff far outpaces anything we talk about right now relating to football. And I think it's because one of the reasons, number one, the product's so good, the SEC's so good, right, in college baseball. But number two, I think people kind of look at it as an escape. Like, I get a relief. I think for the common fan doesn't want to solve these questions either. Not the people that I talk to. So it's like a relief. It's like, man, we get to talk about baseball. Like, there's other stuff going on. You know, we live in the peak of the world of like entertainment, and you know, we're all fighting for attention, right? We're all fighting for viewership. People want to be entertained. Like, what do they want to be entertained by? All these problems and these questions and the energy surrounding college football is like, man, the sport sucks and it's terrible. This is awful. Or you have college baseball that's like, grow the game. This is awesome. The game's so great. It's never been better. The energy around it is a lot more fun. So I understand. Again, I'm not making light of the issues at hand, but I'm a guy. I like to stay in my lane and play my role. And I'm just not one to fix it. And now the Sorsby thing, I was a college athlete. So that maybe falls a little bit more into like my expertise of like the NCAA is a complete joke. The Sorsby being eligible is the biggest just crock of shit joke. The Texas Tech stuff is I don't wish ill will on the kid, obviously, but dude, you can't, like, there's one rule that hasn't changed in the NCAA, and it's the gambling thing.
Yeah.
And if he didn't gamble on his own team, then maybe but he bet on his own team, and it's like, no biggie, all good. Crazy. Yeah. There are no rules in college football. There's none. There's none. And it has become disgusting where if you don't like something, just sue, and you'll get it. Just sue again, and like, just keep suing, and then you'll get it. So it's the Sorsby thing is it's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll just say this, Chris. I'm in agreement with you about college football, about how I view it. When I was part of the Big 12, you know, when we did shows about the Big 12 and all, I didn't care about the power. I mean, the SEC, and you know, it was always the SEC. Now that I'm a part of that SEC deal, I don't want them to give up. I just don't want the commissioner to give in too quickly to TV rights and all that other stuff. Where your future, you really hold the cards. You and the Big Ten hold the cards. All this other stuff, the Big 12, oh, yeah, even playing field, let's try to do, let's let Congress make everything so nice and cat. No. There are the big dogs, and the SEC, for me, I don't want their commissioner. I don't want Sankey to give in to any of it. I know you have to do what's best for football because it is about football. So you are going to have to give up something. But some of the stuff that they're trying to ask you to do, it's like you and the Big Ten hold the cards. You know, they're wondering if you're hiding behind closed doors, making little deals. Well, screw them. Let them wonder, you know?
I don't think anybody, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think anybody realistically either wants to see like Kirby Smart alluding to the SEC breaking off and being their own thing, right, or the Big Ten, you know, the SEC and Big Ten doing it. I just – you know, I'm an SEC homer. I'm an SEC guy, but I'm also a college football fan. And, right. and like, I grew up watching Pac-12 after dark. I grew up watching other games, other conferences. Like, I don't think if you actually like the sport, you want to see that. It just feels like a very weird reality. But I do think the reality is probably going – I don't know how it doesn't get to the point where the schools that generate revenue from football, so the Power Four, most of them, they're going to separate. It just has to happen. Like, you can't have Alabama playing by the same rules as Appalachian State. And I love Appalachian right. State, but it's just the reality. Like, there's just – and I guess maybe that should be the solution, because it's been silly to think otherwise. That, and that's right. the argument I have with G5 people about the G5 should have their own playoff. Why are y'all playing for the same trophy? Why are – you know what I mean? Like, I don't – but from the money perspective, these other schools cannot keep up, you know?
Yeah.
It's getting so out of control. I just don't – I'm nervous because I don't know who's making a lot of the decisions, and I think most of the people making them, they're going to keep pushing the money button, and they're going to keep pushing the buttons that just try to increase revenue, and obviously those decisions aren't always what's best for the sport, so – yeah, it's we're just in weird times, man. We're in very weird times with the game.
But I think you're right. The weirdest of all is a kid being able to gamble on his own team and still go on another campus and still be gambling. And the mental health issue jumps in there, because it does in a lot of time. I mean, this dude just got caught. He wasn't throwing himself on a sword for any other reason than he got caught. And, you know, that's it. And now somebody's bailing him out.
Yeah, Texas Tech has become like the ultimate villains of college football, where like people are now saying that they're not going to schedule them anymore. It's the most no-brainer. I don't know how, and I don't know any Texas Tech fans. Y'all might. I don't know how you can sit there and like say, like, no, this was the right decision. People will maybe push back and say, how can you say that as an entity that's sponsored by a gambling site? Well, I'm not a college athlete. I'm not apologizing for having a business partner that's a gambling site.
It's rules.
It's not a. It's just a rule that it compromises the integrity of the game. Right. If I am the quarterback, I'm not just like the kicker, or that may be even worse. But I'm not just like a bench guy. I am the starting quarterback. I cannot gamble on my own team. Pete Rose was banned for the Hall of Fame forever. I think he's finally getting in now, if I read that correctly. But he was banned forever for gambling on his own team.
They waited for him to die before they
get a suspension.
Yeah, they waited for him to die before they put him back in. He had to leave the earth before they forgave him for that. So, it's a mess. It's a mess. Well said by you. Just get us to the ball.
What's the vibe in the state of Texas with all this Texas Tech nonsense? I feel like they've become like the top storyline of the Texas schools now.
I mean, I think the rest of the country has realized for years how much of a joke Texas Tech is. Like, everybody in the state has felt that way forever. I mean, we call them Sand Aggies because that's what they are. And I mean, it's who they are. But look, they're trying to be relevant for the first time ever. So,
hey, you guys saw Joey McGuire DM me, right? Did you guys see that? Yeah, we had a clip on our airwaves, and I even watched it back and was like, because I called him a baby back blank on our show. I really got into it. This was about the we want to play Texas thing, and I was like, bro, no, you don't. You're just, you know, he's the hold me back guy that once you let him go, hold me back. Oh, you know, Joey McGuire DM'd me. He said, no, I really want Texas. I swear to you, and I checked the account. It's really him.
I believe.
And hold on. I'm pulling it up. So he said, here we go. He said, no, I really want to play Texas. I responded and said, I'd love to have you on the show to talk about it. And he sent me his SID's number. So I texted him yesterday. So we're working on that.
Oh, there you go. That's
true. you really don't want them at home.
Like, hey, coach, first off, you know, thanks for not taking it personally.
Yeah, exactly.
Really? Yeah, I mean, hey, come on with it. I'd love to hear it.
I look forward to Joey McGuire. Yeah, I look forward to him saying, Yeah, I don't pay attention to the outside noise. I can't wait.
Now, listen, I'm an SEC guy, but there wouldn't be a better time to have Joey McGuire on a show than right now.
Yeah. I hope you do.
Sure.
But yeah, he DM'd me personally and said, no, I really want to play Texas. So all you Texas folks out there know, Joey McGuire said, I want the smoke. He wants all the smoke.
That is great. That is great.
He knows, you know,
get
what?
Get him on the schedule. Hey,
listen, it's good for him Texas to say
State.
That, but he knows.
Respectfully,
he knows
to Texas happening. State. Move aside. Let's get the Red Raiders on the schedule.
No,
Let's settle this once and for all.
It benefits everybody but Texas.
Walks into Austin week one.
He didn't even contact Texas State. He hadn't even talked to those people. All that we've talked to them was just a bunch of bull. They haven't talked to them about anything.
It's a joke, man. It is a joke for sure. You know, it's all right. We'll let you go. I mean, we could talk about this stuff for hours, but with the Tech fan base, it's like they think, oh, because we're finally good, people are threatened by us, and that's why they're so mad about the Sorsby thing. Yeah. It's like, nah, you guys are literally cheating. Like, the rules are cut and dry, so that's why everybody's mad about the Sorsby. They live in their own world out in Lubbock.
Valid.
That's a mess. Chris, great stuff, man. Appreciate the time. Good conversation. Talking college baseball and college football. Safe travels to Omaha. Hopefully next week our schedules link up and we'll make it work.
My schedule will be flexible. So,
all right, brother. Well, thanks for the time, man. Enjoy the week.
Thank you, Chris.
BK, buddy, all the best. Yeah, we'll talk
later, man.
Great stuff, Chris Phillips, SEC Unfiltered. We're all over the map. Obviously, some College World Series conversation in there, and then getting to just the craziness surrounding college football.
We got to Joey McGuire even came out. Yes.
How about that? Joey McGuire reaching out to Chris Phillips himself to potentially come on the show. I need to send Joey McGuire a DM to see if he'll come on our show.
Not quite.
I don't know. We're based in Austin, so maybe we'd have to do the show in Lubbock or Arlington for him to come on, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if he'd be willing to actually
do that. No, he doesn't want that. He says he wants to smoke. He knows that. He knew that smoke was never going to happen.
Of course. And they're still playing the PR stunt, and they're doing it right now. So people, once again, stop talking about Brendan Sorsby.
Absolutely.
Same reason he did it the first time. And you and I were all over it. They're doing it again. Please stop talking about our cheating ass quarterback and us suing to get our cheating quarterback to play. Talk about Texas being super soft, please. Nothing to see here in Lubbock. Nothing at all. Talk about something else.
Even educated people know what a distraction is all about.
Look, their PR people are doing a great job. I mean, this is a huge S storm that it's tough for them to get out of, but their PR people, they're still at work trying to get the attention off of all the BS they're doing.
Yeah, they go from they step in one turd and then they step in another one. They're not missing out on the turds in the field right now.
People with a brain can figure that out, but. And again, to get into Texas Tech, I'm not sure you have to have one. Even a lot of rational Tech fans, by the way. Like, there are plenty of Tech fans who are like, it's kind of a joke. Like, I understand this is wrong and this shouldn't happen.
But it's good we're getting away with it.
There are some out there who are like, kid did nothing wrong. He should play. And I'm sure if Brendan Sorsby was suiting up for Texas this year, they'd have the exact same
mindset. Oh, my God.
Positive.
I can't even imagine.
All right, we're behind on sponsor shout-outs. We've got the BBK news. We got some other stuff to get into before we wrap up a Tuesday show. But before anything else, Buck, how about some love to the folks who make all of this possible?
Our good friends over at Relax the Back, folks. You can live pain-free at Relax the Back. If you've got a problem with your neck, your shoulders, your hips, elbows, you name it, thoracic, lumbar area, please call on our friends at Relax the Back. They have chairs. Select office chairs just for you. They also have all kinds of accessories that are going to help you feel a little bit better each and every day. Two great locations, one in the Bee Caves at the Hill Country Galleria across the street from Whole Foods, and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center across from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the Buck at Relax the Back.
Yes, indeed. Love Relax the Back. Also love Qualis Roofing and Construction. More rain yesterday. More heavy winds yesterday. It doesn't take hail to damage your roof. If you've got an old roof, maybe you haven't had it looked at in a while, reach out to our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction. They've been around and they are going to stay around. The best roofers in Central Texas, more than 700 five-star reviews online. They do residential roofs, they do commercial roofs. And if you want some peace of mind for the next rounds of storms that we have, reach out to Qualis Roofing and Construction. They'll go up there, they'll check your roof. They got drones to make sure everything's going well. If there's a random stain, there's a little hole, they want to take care of those problems before they become bigger problems. And oh, by the way, they're going to help you file an insurance claim. They're not trying to take money out of your pocket. They're trying to go after the insurance company that is protecting your home. These guys are the best at what they do. They're great people as well. And usually roofers, they've got the stigma of being jerks and just trying to take your money. And they're going to screw something up, so you have to have them back out to your place. That's not what Qualis is about. Free inspections, free storm assessments. They will come to your place for free, and their work is second to none. All you have to do is reach out to them, QualisGC.com, or give them a call, 512-257-0033. You're also going to get a free Longhorn shirt with a free roof inspection. They might buy you a Texas Softball National Championship shirt.
There you go.
About that trade-off right there. Reach out to our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction.
Our good friends over at Woods Comfort Systems right now, $70 off AC and plumbing repairs, folks. Get a chance to make sure everything's working in your home. 70 years in Central Texas, Woods Comfort Systems has been getting it done. Zero financing for 36 months on select Bryant systems. And that air conditioner needs to work because it is, hey, feels like 98, feels like 105. Well, it is 105 probably. And at Woods Comfort Systems, they'll make sure your air conditioning is working properly. And, of course, your heating when the wintertime is here. And, folks, they do plumbing indoor and outdoor right now. Take advantage of the great sales that they have at Woods Comfort Systems, and nobody does it better.
No, they don't. WoodsComfortSystems.com for more. And nobody brews beer better than Altstadt beer.
Yeah.
And that's not just my opinion. The Altstadt Brewery was named Brewery of the Year back in February, like all across the entire state of Texas. This wasn't just a Fredericksburg-only thing. This was a statewide competition, and the Altstadt Brewery, again, number one. Best of the best, top of the heap. It's what they do. And they're putting out great beers all the time. Look, if you're looking for something to do here in the summertime in Central Texas, check out the Altstadt Brewery. See what all the hype and fuss is about. I promise you won't regret it. I've been a few times. I absolutely love it. But also, you don't have to go to Fredericksburg to enjoy what the Altstadt Brewery puts out. Their beers are easy to find. Grocery stores, liquor stores, bars, restaurants, wherever you are drinking your beers across Central Texas, get you some Altstadt. They've got a bunch of different brews, something for every beer drinker out there. And every Altstadt is brewed without additives or any preservatives. It's clean, it's refreshing, it's brewed right, and it tastes great. One sip and you won't go back to the other beers you have been drinking in the past. Get you some. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets.
You know what else tastes great? Tomorrow, Hat Creek Burger. Mama's out of town. Hat Creek Burger Company. Yes, sir. Golf tomorrow. I'm having queso fries. I'm having another one of those banana pudding milkshakes along with a big hat before I play a round of golf. Absolutely. They've got over 30 locations in the state of Texas. Of course, Hat Creek Burger Company is a place where they have good food, good folks, and just simply a good time, folks. They really do. There's something at Hat Creek Burger for everyone. Whether you want queso fries, you want the nuggies, you want the little hat, you want the big hat, they have got it all. They were found right here in Austin, Texas, 2008, and they are going strong throughout the state. As I said, something for everyone at Hat Creek Burger Company.
Yes, indeed. And last but not least, shout out to Sleep Cycle Center.
Yes, indeed.
Get your sleeping problems taken care of. If you're tired, if you wake up and you feel like you didn't get a good night's sleep, if you're having to drink 4 or 5 cups of coffee every day because you're drowsy, get this taken care of. It could be the sign of a serious health problem that you don't want to mess around with. Our guy, Dr. Chad, and his great team at Sleep Cycle Center will hook you up. Free consultations for listeners of this show. Plus, you mention us, you're going to get $100 off an at-home sleep study. It's not just CPAP. It's not cookie cutter, one size fits all. They're going to find a solution for your snoring or your sleep apnea. They will take care of you. SleepCycleCenters.com. Schedule that consultation today. All right, let's get to the BBK news here, Buck. I'll just ask you this right off the bat. Are you pro-robot?
No.
You're not pro robot.
No, I don't. You know, I'll push my mower. I don't need my lawnmower to come up and ring the doorbell and say, "Your grass looks a little long. I'm going to go out there and start cutting it for you." No, I'm not a big robot guy. No, I know you are because you're a machine guy. You're with the machines.
I'm with the machines. Absolutely.
Yes.
How often are you around robots? Like, you don't go to downtown Austin, but like in downtown, they've got like little robot delivery things.
I've seen them.
Okay. Obviously some people consider driverless cars as robots, but like there's little things that are shaped like what we think a robot is.
They take your credit card. They do the credit card deal for you and everything.
Do the credit.
I've seen those at restaurants where they come over, where a little robot comes around and takes your credit card for your meal and stuff.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to slam that thing up against the wall.
Oh, he's going to slam back. Be careful.
No, I'm not. I like human contact.
Well, I wonder if this is going to change your mind. We've got a couple of robot videos here.
With breast? You know, I like pictorials. So yes, I need to see, well, do they have breasts?
You're interested in robot breasts.
Well, you know, I mean, since I was a kid, you know, the things that I draw, when I visualize stuff, I visualize things with breasts. Like when people said, draw me a picture. I mean, I'll draw a stick figure with these huge monster breasts for some odd reason. That was my art. That's my artistry right there.
Oh, I love that. You should sell that. That's fantastic work by you. Thank you. To me, that's real art. But you did just say a moment ago you like human contact. Now you're talking about robot breasts. So you don't like human breasts. You like robot.
No. This is just my pictorial of what they would look like. Go ahead.
I don't think we have any breasts, unfortunately for you. That's.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that.
I'm more of a human boob guy myself, but hey, to each his own, I suppose. Well,
so don't get me playing a game of Pictionary. I'm the worst.
Yeah, exactly. You're just drawing circles.
My lizards and alligators and everything have big breasts on.
Oh, my God. Well, my fears of the impending war between machine and man are becoming more of a reality by the day. So there are all sorts of videos out there online, seemingly by the week, where just robots are walking around major cities and hanging out amongst the people. And again, some of them are doing jobs now. Some of them are just whatever. We've got two from China here. And well, the robots, they're not really happy with people, but it's not people in general. They're not really happy with Asian children. Here's the first clip here. You got a robot here just dancing around. Got a little blue wig going, doing some karate, kung fu moves, and then boom! How about a straight body kick?
Oh.
I mean, that'll make Daniel Cormier happy.
My goodness, that'll get Bruce Lee pissed.
I mean, Izzy Adesanya, insert your favorite UFC fighter here. This is a clean body kick right to the to the gut. Look at this kid. He's just excited, like robot there. Oh, this is awesome. I'm going to watch this. And look at the kid just doubles back, and now he falls down. He's out.
Come on, kid. Don't let him see you sweat.
So does that change your mind about, are you now pro-robot here, taking it out on the – because I do know you hate Asians.
Stop. I you know
– Oh.
Can I – See, that's when I wish I had a big brother, because my big brother would come to my aid and tackle that thing right to the ground.
I don't know. Should the kid's parents here have done something to the robot, like fought back?
I would have.
I don't know. The robot's coming after you next.
If you kicked my kid like that, if I was a parent, I'm coming out of the woodworks there to make a move on that robot. Yes.
And then the robot, I kind of cut the video off, but he just starts like backing away. And some people are laughing. Some of the other kids are like, that's hilarious.
Oh, if I was a kid, I would be rolling on the ground laughing. Yeah,
it's fantastic.
I'd also sweep the leg on that robot right there.
If I was that kid's buddy, I'd be cracking up right there. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my goodness.
If it happened to me, not so much. Well, we've got that one. This one, not as bad, but also like within the last week, this one found me on social media. Here's another one. More kung fu moves, and then bang! It's like a spinning back fist here. Look at this. Whoops. How about a smack to the face?
Yeah, those kids are just too close to the action. They needed to rope that off a little bit more.
Well, this one, right, like the other one, you know, the first one, it's kind of like there's not dude, really a rope. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the kid's kind of out there, and he's in a danger zone.
He is in the danger
this
zone.
This one right here, look, there's a barrier. The kid's behind the barrier, and he still gets smacked upside the head.
Smacked the crap out of that kid.
Look at this. Bang.
It's almost like that kid's mom called that robot up and said, hey, little Johnny's been bad at school. Here's where he's going to be. Here's what sections he's going to be at.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough hit. I mean, the first kid's going SGA. I think he's flopping a little bit. But the second kid, just a straight smack to the nose. So, again, I've been pro-robot for a long time. I'm on their side. I hate the kids. I'm tired of the kids. Yeah, way to go, robots. Another point for the machines, Buck.
Yeah, boy. That kick was kind of stiff, too, wasn't it?
That would have knocked you out.
I would have grabbed that robot. See that kid? He's out there. He's aware. As soon as that robot spun right there, I would have grabbed his leg and flipped him on his robot head, on his little blue wig.
Oh, even before the kick? Like, you're grabbing him as he's trying to kick you?
Oh, yeah. I got him by the leg, and then I'm kicking him in his robot nuts.
I don't know if he has those.
I don't know. Remember my pictorials. I didn't do nuts. I just did breast.
You're right. Well, if this robot had breast, would you fight back or would you be too in awe?
I would be in awe of the robot's breast. I would not fight a robot. I don't fight women. I don't do that. So I would figure with large size breasts, it would be a female robot. I would not fight back.
Okay. So even women robots, you're not touching.
No. You don't fight a woman robot either.
But man robots, you'd fight. All right.
Oh, you got to get after them. If that's just a goofy blue wig robot, you need to get that robot back. That little kid's big brother should come out of there and start just pounding that robot.
What kind of pounding are you talking about?
Just picking it up and body slamming it. WWE.
Talking about this one, the little blue haired guy?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like this should be in Austin with the blue hair on the robot, no?
Oh, that's one of those things that'll just come out of one of those Waymos. If you're too close to the Waymo, come and get to the car behind you and come out. That robot kind of backed up. You see that robot kind of backed up and said,
"Yeah, he kept backing up." He's like, "I think he realized he goofed," but it was just an act right there. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, no tried doubt to play. About
oh,
it.
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't realize it. I didn't know what I just did. Sorry.
Okay, Source, but yeah, I didn't know exactly what I was doing.
Oh man, one more BBK news story here before a quick rendition of why today's not so bad. Buck, you're a big Taylor Swift fan, correct?
I'm not a fan. I don't listen to any of her music. I don't have any. I don't play any of her music. I don't. I liked her as a young kid coming up when she was country before she became pop.
You liked her as a young kid, but once she got to a certain age, you stopped, huh?
Well, no, she's okay. I mean, she didn't bother me.
You still have that signed photo from her?
You know what? I haven't been able to find that. I think my wife may have thrown it out.
No way.
I swear. I don't even want to talk about it, but generally it's somewhere where I can find it around here. And I looked in it. I think my wife is not a Taylor Swift fan. I think she may have chucked it.
That thing's worth some money.
Well, I was going to give it to one of my granddaughters. So I'm eventually going to ask my wife, did you throw away that Taylor Swift deal?
You got to find out yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I think like I said, it's generally in a vicinity where I see it and I know it's there. BK, I've actually looked for it and can't find it.
That's not good right there. That's one of your most valuable possessions, sir.
Yeah, I know.
Cool. Oh. I mean, the custom note, she wrote a letter to you?
Yeah, do I dump my wife for this? Do I dump her? Does she have to go?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think there's another option here.
I was thinking of that. You know, it was supposed to be for my granddaughter. I have a granddaughter that's 11 years old that would probably love that, love to have had that.
But didn't your, sorry to bring this up, hopefully I'm not crossing the line here, but I think you've talked about it on the air. Didn't your first wife get rid of like a Bobby Orr signed hockey stick and that's why you divorced her?
No, that's not why I got divorced, but in the divorce, before I got back to where I needed to pick up my stuff, that thing was gone.
Oh, okay. She got it in the divorce. It wasn't.
No, she got it because I couldn't come back and get it. I mean, I had Doug Flutie stuff, you know, Boston College signed stuff from Doug Flutie.
I've got good news for you then. If the Taylor Swift poster is lost, there's another item that is currently up for auction that you could bid on to potentially own some more Taylor Swift memorabilia, if you will. The courtside seat. This is a real story. The courtside seat that Taylor Swift sat in during game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Knicks and the Cavaliers has been listed for auction. You can bid on the seat that T Swizzle, your girl, sat in next to Travis Kelce in game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Don't want it. I'm not that big of a fan.
You don't want to smell it?
No, I don't. I'm not that kind of fan. That was just a nice thing she did as a, I think she was in her early 20s when I got that, obviously. But yeah, that was, she may have been 19 or whatever when she wrote that, a handwritten letter to me. So that's, I don't collect a lot of memorabilia like that.
Here's a picture of the Buck, actually, once he gets a hold of that Taylor Swift seat.
Oh, my God.
Getting a good smell in.
No. Oh, my.
How weird is that? Like,
it's weird.
And there's already been multiple bids. This thing's up for auction for another 5 days. I think June 14th is the final day.
Do they have what the highest bid is so far?
You know, this story I'm looking at is from 3 days ago. And at that point, it had 17 bids and was only just over 1,000. Only. It's a freaking seat and not a comfortable one. But I'm sure over the last 3 days, there's been way more bids and the price has gone up significantly more.
Absolutely.
What do you do with that?
I don't know. You put it beside your, you know, if I were to be interested in it, I'd probably put it over here in the big taco right beside me where I sit and watch TV, put my hand on it, just press my hand down if I was a freak, but I'm not.
Just imagine like what was there before.
if I were a freak.
So you don't even sit in it. You're just you just put it next to your seat and just like having conversations with Taylor. Yeah, hey, what do you think of that?
Just talk to it. Talk to the seat.
I mean, there's some weirdos out there and some creeps out there. That's
creepy.
That's next level. I don't want to know who wins that auction.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, I hope it's some girl who does and not because odds are it's going to be some creepy ass dude who wins it.
You know it is.
And I'm afraid to think what he would do with it. But
now you got me all creeped out about that robot, me going outside and going to the store near that robot is sitting there having lunch today.
Oh, you're going to go fight some robots now?
That creepy blue-haired thing. Good Lord.
And next time you see one of those, make sure you record it or someone is recording. I'd love to see you try to take one of those. You'd have no chance, sir.
Oh, no. I've already had the robot at, I think it may have been Waterloo Ice House that I was at where the little robot thing came over to take the credit card. I'm like backing this thing away, shooing it like it's a puppy. Get out of here. I want to talk to somebody. I want to give it to a person. I'm not giving it to you.
What happened? Did the robot keep coming back?
It kept coming like back around and I would shoo it away and it would circle back around and come back, you know, because it knew my meal was over with or whatever. And I don't know what they press. Somebody was in the back room just having a laugh. They had this thing come back.
Someone's controlling the whole thing. Just like,
Right? You've seen those downtown, right?
Of course. Yeah, no, I went there. I was actually mad because last time I went there, I saw it come out to the table next to me and brought out food. And I kept getting a human waiter bringing out my drinks, bringing out my food. I'm like, no, I want that guy. I've dealt with enough of you waiters over the years. Give me the robot.
I didn't want the robot taking my credit card and then ripping it up or something or taking down the numbers, you know?
Oh, God. All right. Well, last but not least, a quick why today's not so bad. On this day, Buck, I know a big one for you, 1973. Secretariat wins the Belmont Stakes to capture the Triple Crown.
Graduated from high school, 1973.
won by 31 lengths.
How about that? The other horses didn't even have a chance.
Broke the track record by more than 2 seconds, securing a first Triple Crown in horse racing in 25 years.
Yeah, I'd rather have the horseshoe from Secretariat than the seat from Taylor Swift.
What are you going to do with that?
I don't know. I guarantee my wife would have thrown it away.
I don't know if I'd bet on that. I feel like she would have. And then Dickie V's 87 today. Johnny 87? Depp, 63. Michael J. Fox, 65. Okay, Marty McFly. And Natalie Portman, one of my people's finest and big Texas fan, celebrating a birthday today.
So there awesome.
All right, well, that'll do it for a Tuesday show. Fun one. Thanks to David Ubbin and Chris Phillips for joining us. Thanks to, most importantly, all of you people for joining us.
Fantastic guest, BK, today. Good show, too, buddy.
Yeah, we're going to have a soccer guy on tomorrow because the World Cup starts in 2 days. So we're going to get a soccer expert to preview the World Cup.
We don't have a chance, do we? I got to wear my USA cap tomorrow because I don't think we have a chance, do we?
We got a chance to get out of the group stage. We should get out of the group stage. Because two get out, and we're the highest-rated team in the FIFA World Rankings in our group. So we should.
Paraguay first?
Paraguay's first, and they're the worst team in the group. So if we lose on Friday, then, yeah, we're in some serious trouble.
Okay.
But we should. We're not going to do anything in the knockout stage, but we should. We'll ask someone who knows way more than I do tomorrow. But from my understanding, from my research and soccer fans that I've talked to, it'd be a pretty catastrophic loss if we don't get to the knockout round.
Yeah, watching World Cup with United States playing teams like Paraguay, that's a perfect day for some early bird right there. Event to have a little early bird.
Friday night, too. 8 o'clock Central Time. It'll be in L.A. Looking forward to that. So we'll get to that. Chip Brown will join us, too. We'll have a fun show. But appreciate y'all. Y'all have a great Tuesday, and the Buck and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Welcome.
Okay.